We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
On Saturday, April 27th at 7 p.m. at Shippensburg University, there will be a screening of the film Common Ground, which is about saving the planet one acre at a time. And our next guests are Rebecca Tickell, who is one of the producers of the film Common Ground, and Holly Smith, who is a project manager for the Center for Land Use and Stability at Shippensburg University. So, Rebecca, first and foremost, I want to thank you for joining us on The Spark today. What inspired the decision to bring Common Ground to Shippensburg University for the screening?
I mean, first of all, thank you, Marquise, for having us on.
Yes.
Me on, the royal us, as for myself. You know, I want this film to be seen by everyone everywhere because it really shows how we can fix our food system, how we can regenerate the planet, stabilize the climate, and to be able to show it at Shippensburg University is a huge honor for us because, honestly, let's face it, it's young people who are going to lead the way and who are going to lead the way in reversing climate change and creating a powerful future that we can all live in and thrive. And so what better place to do that than in Shippensburg University? And also a huge shout out to the Center for Land Use and Sustainability for making this happen.
Indeed. Now, I am not going to say that it's not because I graduated from there. Of course not. I'm not going to put that little nugget of knowledge in there. But also, was it Shippensburg's close relationship with its agriculture surroundings that also made the university attractive to have this screening at as well?
Absolutely. I think agricultural communities are the ones that are most impacted by the current system that we have in place. In agricultural communities, we have over 80% of farming. It's probably much higher than that, is conventional farming with a high use of synthetic chemicals, with tillage. And so there's a higher level of exposure to the unfortunate side effects of our current agricultural model that the people who are within that area, which is often called a sacrifice zone, have to endure. And there's not really a lot of science that is accepted widely within the agricultural community about what those impacts are and how it relates to our health. So that's why this film is so important, because it allows people to understand that there is a cost to our current agricultural system. That's a system that's not organic and regenerative, and that there is a pathway for how to transition that benefits everyone, especially the people who are actually growing the food and the people whose hands are actually in the soil. Those people, farmers in the United States, have a 5 times higher suicide rate than any other profession in the U.S. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And Common Ground, our film that's showing at the university in Shippensburg, will really explain that for people. But, you know, we also, where my husband and I live and where we made this film, Common Ground, live in an agricultural community in Ventura County in California. And so we ourselves also witness firsthand these impacts. And I come from a legacy farming family. And I think people who live in these agricultural communities who have been seeing these hardships, witnessing the illnesses, seeing how farmers are really paying the cost because they only make 8 cents on the dollar. Everything that they're selling, they're only making 8 cents on the dollar for that. And they're often beholden to subsidies, to crop insurance, to bank loans that require them to continue these practices that are so degrading to their health and to their land and to their food. And so when people get access to this information, that there is another option, that regenerative organic agriculture not only benefits the farmer, their family, their health, it allows them to grow nutrient-dense food. It allows them to have an infiltration rate that allows the soil to become sponge-like and hold store water, which is what you want. You don't want it running off into the ditch. And honestly, the biggest thing, the reason that I'm in this, beyond all of the other reasons, is because this is the only way that we can actually fight and reverse climate change. Wow. Is through regenerative agriculture. That's within our control. It's something that we can all do and that we can all participate in to draw down the teraton of carbon that we've emitted into the atmosphere and put it into healthy soil using biosequestration, something we all learned about in school growing up, not realizing that that simple, elegant way of capturing carbon and putting it into the soil literally is our savior. It's the way that we as humanity can stabilize each of our regions and create a prosperous future for many, many generations to come. And that's great news, because how paralyzed have we been around this conversation? There hasn't been a lot of talk about real solutions. There's no technology that can save us. There's no carbon capturing device that's ever going to be able to do this. Even if we stopped emitting all the carbon right now today, we'd still have to deal with that teraton of carbon. It's not going anywhere. It's still acidifying our oceans. Our oceans are trying to absorb that carbon. And in the process, we're wreaking havoc on our entire planet. I mean, we're desertifying the planet. We're turning healthy soil into dust. And that leads to starvation and famine, malnutrition, fighting over resources, war, climate refugees. I mean, the impacts of this are, I mean, you could even say biblical. This is like the story of the Old Testament of people using agriculture in an extractive way, desertifying the region, and then being forced to move on. Now we're doing that on a global scale, and we're seeing that in the form of climate change. And there's great news. This story can have a happy ending. And it's called, we all wake up, we get connected to each other, we get connected to our food and to our soil and to the land. And as we do that, we work together to build soil, build health, literally build centuries into our story.
And Holly, talking about building these relationships, can you tell us Shippensburg's role in this? Because I mean, this just makes sense, you know, especially coming from a fellow Shippensburg grad like myself. Because waking up, you know, going to that 8 o'clock class, you could smell Shippensburg.
You certainly can, all year. It's all year. So we, you know, we can take a look at the farm fields that surround the campus and wonder why there's so much exposed soil there, and may not think about it until a film like this really wakes you up to the idea that this can be done differently. And the students are ready to hear this. They're asking for this. I think the Central Pennsylvania community is welcoming it. We've seen a resurgence in small sustainable farms, and some of them are going to be on site either tabling at this event or part of the expert panel afterwards. And there's been a resurgence of small farmers markets with vendors from all kinds of different value added and services and sustainable farming systems there. So people are really excited about this. We have our own small campus farm too that that provides a lot of food for our local food bank. Right now they're on the quad with goats. So people are really, really interested in this. The students really want to know how they can make a difference. So this film is really going to speak to them.
You know, I often say that that in so many aspects, Gen Zers are just so much more well-equipped, well-better than us millennials. So can you tell us about this excitement that's happening on campus now? Why and how are these students getting involved agriculturally? Like, why is there a movement now?
Well, I think that they're looking at their family systems in the past. They're becoming aware of the large farming, the CAFOs, the large factory farms, and they're realizing that that's a health issue, and that's an animal rights issue, and that's a land use issue, and an air quality issue. So all of these things are being talked about in some of the early classes that they have at the university, and when they come to the geography or science department and the biology department, they're discussing these. And so they are ready to make a difference. They're inheriting a lot of problems. And I think they're, and they can look around campus and say, yeah, let's do something here. Let's change something here.
Yeah, so you just said something that was very interesting. So this just isn't just like, you know, one department. This is across many departments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it impacts everyone. If it, you know, when we promoted the film, we're including in the emails and the messages that we're sending to our partners and our community. This is about health, economy. This is land use. This is sustainability. This is economics. This is, you know, this, if you're not part of that system, then you're not here. I mean, everybody is part of all of these systems.
Absolutely. So Rebecca, now how did you envision the film resonating with the Shippensburg audience?
Well, that's my dog, Pierre, chiming in. He just wanted everyone to know, you're going to love the movie. You know, I'm really excited for these young audiences to watch this film, because I know that within this group of people, you have the power really to lead the way within Pennsylvania. I mean, each one of us has to figure out what our role is in this movement, because this is the next big movement. There's no stopping this. Regenerative agriculture is going to be the next trillion-dollar industry, and it's coming at us like a ton of bricks. So people at this very moment have an exciting opportunity to see, like, what's my role going to be in this? How am I going to be a leader, and how am I going to shape this movement with my unique gifts? And I really do think that when people come and they watch this movie, they're going to figure out what it is that is calling for them to do, because, you know, it's going to take a lot of leaders in this movement with the time frame that we have. And I'm not trying to create fear, but there is a sense of urgency that we have this window right now where we can course correct. And I'm a mom. I've got a 7-year-old son and a 10-year-old daughter. And honestly, everyone always talks about, you know, the day that your children are born is the happiest day of your life. For me, the day that my children were born became one of the most sobering days of my life, because my life was extended, hopefully, 100 years into the future through them and then beyond. Mm-hmm. And I realized, looking into the future 100 years, that I did not have faith and what that future was going to be with the trajectory that we're on currently. So it motivated me. Mm. And I feel like this movie will motivate people to really get involved, to really figure out how their voice and how their unique passion can influence and change what they're seeing around them. I mean, if you're seeing a lot of bare ground, that is a great opportunity to figure out how can we build soil, and how can we grow food, and how can we do that inside of community using these practices of organic regenerative agriculture or regenerative organic agriculture. And this is not like new technology by any stretch of the imagination. This is old technology. We're talking about indigenous agriculture. We're talking about going back to our roots and looking at how was this land managed before we came in with our extractive model. This myth that we can feed the world through doing this sort of like cookie cutter farming everywhere we go, and that that's somehow going to help people on the other side of the world. That is a myth. How we feed the world is we figure out how to feed your community, how you feed your region, and then eating the food that you grow as much as humanly possible. And while doing that, building soil. That's the goal. That is the goal. So in Shippensburg, you have the opportunity to set the gold standard for what it looks like from going having bare ground surrounding your university to having an abundant, regenerative, organic food forest that feeds your community, and then having the ability to take that and to shine that and share your story to the world. Like, look, if we can do it here, we can do it anywhere. And this is what it looks like to do it here. And it looks different in every region. You're not going to grow oranges or avocados like we grow here where I live in Ventura County. You're going to grow food that makes sense for your region. You're going to farm in context. That's one of the main principal practices of regenerative organic agriculture, is farming in context. And it really does create an opportunity to like invent, to be inventive, to like in this inquiry of like, what does this soil need? What is this environment calling for? And who better to solve that mystery than the young people who are going to lead the way for for regeneration in Shippensburg.
Absolutely. And especially those young people being Shippensburg minds, you know, me just showing my Shippensburg bias here. Our guests today are Rebecca Tickell and Holly Smith, both discussing the common ground. Well, what is that? Well, friend, I'm glad you asked. On Saturday, April 27th at 7 p.m., Common Ground film will be I was about to say streaming, and no, you're not going to be streaming. You're going to be screening. So let
That's
me do
it.
That. Do that mm-hmm. over again. All right, let's try that again. And in 3, 2, and 1. Welcome back to The Spark. I'm Marquise Lupton. Our guests today are Rebecca Tickell and Holly Smith, both. I don't like that. I didn't like the one either. Try this one more time. All right. And in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to The Spark. Our guests today are Rebecca Tickell and Holly Smith, and we are discussing the upcoming screening of Common Ground that is happening April 27th at 7 p.m. at the Lohr Center at Shippensburg University. And they are, what I like to say, giving us the game on this thing called Common Ground, and also what is regenerative organic agriculture. We're going to get into that, but first, let's talk about what's going on Saturday, April 27th. Now, Holly, we touched on it a little bit before about the screening, but what can folks expect, and when do doors open?
Well, we're going to open the doors around 6 o'clock with some tabling. So the Lohr Center has this fantastic exhibit area on the second floor and plenty of room on the first floor. And we're going to have exhibitors there from the Department of Agriculture, National Resource Conservation Service, a local farmers market manager, Farmers on the Square, Spiral Path Farm, Pennsylvania Association of Sustainable Agriculture, Cumberland County Conservation District, and Rock Hill Heritage Farm, and a few others are going to be hosting tables. And these, we attracted those because we wanted different kinds of resources for local farmers and even folks who don't really know anything about the local food systems. We wanted to be able to provide information for them at many different levels. We also have some campus organizations that are going to be there, including the Campus Farm and Cumberland County Food System Alliance. So they'll open around 6 at a little bit before 7. We'll try to collect everyone and do an introduction to the film. This film starts at 7. It runs for about an hour and 45 minutes. And after that, if we can rely on people's stamina, we'll have a panel discussion. We have 5 panelists and ABC 27 News Chief Meteorologist Eric Finkenbinder will be our moderator.
Oh, celebrity star power.
Yeah, exactly. Celebrity power. So our panelists include Tiana Zabala, who's a SHIP alum, and she works at Goggle Works Gardens. She's working a lot with urban gardening and farming. We have Bill Chain, who's a retired Chesapeake Bay Foundation Ag Program Manager. He'll be there. Lucas Waybright works with Pennsylvania Association of Sustainable Agriculture. Kat English is with Rock Hill Heritage Farm of Hershey, and Will Brownback is the Spiral Path Farm. So I'm a customer of his, and they do such great work with their CSA. So we invited Will to join us for that. So so we're hoping to have a good discussion with the audience, and again, moderated by Eric, and bring out all kinds of different ideas and thoughts that the film will promote.
Now, what are the hopes and aspirations behind this kind of event?
We're hoping to have many different ideas and folks from very diverse arenas come together and have a discussion about one of the most important things that's happening right now, which is our climate. So a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about what it is, if it's happening, what to do about it. And this film is going to hand us a solution. And if we can find that common ground, it's so perfectly named, and have an agreement that this is one of the biggest and most important ways that we can make a change. And even if it's, you know, you don't have that space and you don't have that 3 to 5 acres or whatever it is to make your small homestead or your heritage farm, you can support that with the choices that you make every day with your food systems.
Now,
And then giving the people the idea of where to find these resources. So where do I go for that? So.
Rebecca, now bringing you back in here, you mentioned this word or these words many times, and let's visit it now. You said multiple times regenerative organic agriculture. What is that?
Regenerative organic agriculture is growing food in a way that builds soil and improves the overall life of everything that comes in contact with it. That's sort of the context. That's sort of the principle of what regenerative organic agriculture is. The practices of regenerative organic agriculture, it's a handful of practices. So when applied, it number one would be farming in context, like I mentioned before. So you're not going to grow some monocrop. I don't know. You're not going to grow like I said, avocados in Shippensburg. That's not going to be something that's going to make sense in context where you are. You're going to want to grow food that makes sense for your environment, and that will do well there with the least amount of inputs. That's going to work well, with inside of a diverse, a biodiverse environment, because that really is resiliency. It's the opposite of a monocrop, which is very susceptible to disease and to pests. When you grow things inside of a biodiverse environment, which the soil needs, which we need, then you're going to have resiliency. And that's true with everything when it comes to diversity, is that's resiliency. And then you're going to have the least amount of interference in that soil. So you're not going to disturb the soil with like a plow or with tillage. There's some instances that you can argue you can still do regenerative organic agriculture with the least amount of tillage. Like when you grow carrots, you're going to have to disturb the soil to a certain degree. But the idea is, as a whole, you want to leave that mycorrhizal fungal network alone. You want it to, it's a, that's alive. When you think about dirt, you think of like dead, something dead. But soil is alive and filled with life. And all of the things that are coming from that soil, including us, are connected to each other through the soil. And there is this whole information network that goes between all of these living things that allow resources to be moved around. So if a plant is sick over here, it can get what it needs from a plant that's all the way over on the other side because of that network. But if you start tilling up and breaking up that network, you are literally killing off the ability of that ecosystem to survive. So least amount of mechanical interference into the soil. You want to keep the earth covered at all times. So that's, you know, one of the expressions in the movement is "Mama likes to be covered." So you want to keep her covered at all times. And one of the ways that you can do that is with cover crops. And cover crops are a great way to prevent bare ground. It's also a great starting point for growing other things, because cover crops can help bring that soil back to life. It can put nitrogen back in the soil. It can just start the process of healing dead dirt before you begin the process of like already starting to extract something from it. You want to bring it back to life. So keeping the ground covered. Another principle practice is, no chemicals. I mean, that's like the organic part of it is really important. This is kind of a big sensitive issue within the regenerative movement. Use chemicals, use tillage, don't use chemicals, don't use tillage. You know, the least amount of chemicals that can be used is going to be the best thing for the soil. Same thing with our body. Like, you don't want to be dumping a bunch of synthetic stuff onto the food that you're about to eat. That's just not smart. And not to mention, it's expensive for the farmer. All of those inputs, it costs a lot of money, and it makes what the farmer is able to take home at the end of the day far less than if they had a really resilient, biodiverse environment that they were growing. So not using chemicals. Animal integration is another one of the practices. You need to have animal integrations. You don't have to eat those animals. That's not what we're saying. I think vegans and meat eaters can agree that when you have a biodiverse environment, it's going to be filled with life. And that includes all life. You're going to have the whole trophic cascade. But one thing that we have learned, and this is, again, another hot button issue, but we firmly believe, and the science shows, that ruminants need to be on the land. And that's the only way that we can reverse desertification, is with the use of ruminants. Ruminants, they go in, They'll nibble down on some of the grasses, but you don't want them staying there to kill the grass. You just want them to nibble at the top to stimulate the life of the roots beneath the soil. Because when you pull at it, it's just like, oh, I better grow deeper so that I can be stronger the next time this comes in. But if you just leave them there, like in a CAFO, like we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. concentrated animal feed operation, they're going to eat it all the way down until it's dead and done. But if they're moving and you have a lot of them, you can increase what's called the carrying capacity of the land. You can have huge herds. In fact, the bigger, the better in that sense. And they're going to be constantly moving. Or if you have a smaller system, maybe you're going to use geese in your system. Mm. Or there's lots of different ways. Or maybe you're going to take down your fences and allow antelope or deer to come through. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can mimic nature. But nature is not devoid of animals. Nature has ruminants, and they're a critical part of that ecosystem. And we've taken those ruminants in the form of a cow, and we put them inside of these fences, and then we blame the cow because the cow is being fed corn from a monocrop environment, which is bad for its digestion, and then it's going to be burping all these greenhouse gases and, you know, what else, those greenhouse gases out into the air, and that's going to be a net positive greenhouse gas emission environment. Whereas if you have ruminants like a cow in a herd and they're constantly being moved the way that a predator would, you're going to have a greenhouse gas negative environment. So, and also you're going to have a different kind of, if you do eat that meat, you're going to have one meat. And again, I'm talking about stuff that's kind of on the cutting edge and a bit controversial, and you may not agree with me, and that's okay. But some will argue that the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio in a cow that is grazed properly is going to be a very healthy meat, akin to what you would get from eating wild salmon, for instance, versus if you have a cow that's even if it's been grass-fed its whole life, and then for the final 2 weeks they move it into a CAFO, and they're fed corn to be fattened up for the last 2 weeks, again, you've just ruined the health of that animal. And then when you eat that animal, it's not good for your health either. So, you know, there's the expression, you are what you eat, or, you know, your medicine is your food, and let your food be your medicine. Mm-hmm. We're not telling people to eat meat. What we're telling people is animals are a critical part of the equation, and they're part of the practices of regeneration. Mm. Let's see, have I forgotten any of the other practices? I mean, I think that covers it pretty well.
Yeah, and Holly, wrapping things up here, what opportunities do you think events like this create for networking and collaboration?
Oh, I see many, many more coming down the pike. This is our third partnership with the Lohr Center just in the last couple of weeks. This is our third event that helps people understand the importance and the urgent nature of climate change. The first one was Small Island, Big Song, and the second one was a lecture with Doug Talamay a couple of weeks ago. And if folks listening don't know who they are, and look that up, because both of them were spectacular. So we had live Indigenous music and dance from the Pacific Islands to a lecture about insects and biodiversity and native plants to this film. So I think the opportunity to keep this going, this momentum going, is, you know, right up our alley. I think we'll see more events like this happening on campus.
Yeah, I hope so. And I'm looking forward to attending those at my alma mater. So, Rebecca, leaving out here, going out here, can you tell us some details about the film, what's in it, and what folks can expect?
Yeah, well, I think when people hear that there's a movie about like farming or a movie about dirt, they're like, oh gosh, like, you know, dull as dirt, that expression. This is not that. This film is not dull by any stretch of the imagination. It is very exciting. It's got incredible music. We've got celebrities guiding us through. We've got Jason Momoa, Rosario Dawson, Laura Dern, Donald Glover, Woody Harrelson, Ian Somerhalder, Nikki Reed. I mean, all as parents and speaking to their own children as a commitment that, yes, we've messed it up, the climate. And good news, there's a way to fix it. And by the way, I'm going to fight like hell to save your future. And that is the promise of the film. That's the promise that these narrators make. That's the promise that my husband and I made when we set out to make this film. And when you watch this film, think of it more like Star Wars. We had a film called Kiss the Ground that came out in 2020, and that kind of set the stage for this conversation. And you don't have to have seen Kiss the Ground before you watch Common Ground. You can not have watched it at all. But Common Ground is kind of like the Empire Strikes Back, I guess you could say. We do have a third one coming. It's called Groundswell, and that's about the global movement of regeneration. And that's kind of like the Jedi. What's the last one? The Return of the Jedi.
The Return of the Jedi.
Common Ground is like the Empire Strikes Back, because it really does show, and people argue like, oh, is the system really broken, or is it working exactly the way that it's intended to, and we need to break the system? Or is it that the system is broken and we need to fix it? Either perspective works, but the film pulls back the curtain on what it is that's stopping us from making these changes. And it goes deep. It goes into politics. It goes into our education system. And it goes also into the fear that farmers have in making that transition, because it's scary for them to step away from all these assurances that they have from our government that keep them going. So it takes some bravery, too, from these first adopters who are out there doing it. And when you watch the film, I think you'll be filled with hope. I think maybe you'll get a little angry when you see how we've been duped. And then I think you're going to get really excited, because you're going to realize that this is a turning point for humanity right now. This is a new episteme in what's possible for our future, simply by shifting the way that we're managing our land and by the way that we're growing food. And it is really exciting when you start to look at the possibility of this transition. It's been scary for so long, but now this film will fill you with hope and with light and with possibility and a call to action to do something in Shippensburg. And I have faith on you, in you, Shippensburg, that you're going to do this and you're going to be stellar at it.
Oh yeah, I do too. And you started mentioning Star Wars, and I mean, that is pulling at my heartstrings, because I am a Star Wars nerd. I am waiting until May the 4th, because that is one of my favorite days. And then you also said, I have this thing when there's a specific phrase that stands out. I like to say, you know, put it on a shirt. And you said, fight like hell to save our future. And that is definitely one of those things that you put on a shirt. Ladies, I want to thank you for joining us today on The Spark and just giving us all this great information. Holly, for the people in the back, or for the people that are just now joining us, again, what is going on? When is it happening? Give us the deets, as my youngest daughter would say.
The deets are, join us at Shippensburg University at the Lourdes Performing Arts Center Saturday, April 27th. Arrive at 6 and meet some folks that are involved in local and regional farming systems. Join us for the film at 7 and stick around for our panel discussion afterwards. We have a 5-person panel, and then the discussion will be moderated by Eric Finkenbinder. You can get tickets online at lourdescenter.com, and they will also be available at the door. It's $11 for adults and $5.50 for students.
All right, and there it is. That is Holly Smith with Shippensburg University. What I like to say, the Shippensburg University. And also Rebecca Tickell from Common Ground Films. Again, like Holly said, April 27th at 7 p.m. at the Lourdes Center. Ladies, thanks again for joining me on The Spark. This has been fantastic.